platforms that she's listed. And if you want to, just start simple. ChatGPT for free, just start simple. But if you want to go further, I highly recommend, and I will put inside of the show notes, some of the other platforms that she has listed. So thanks to Angela, our AI expert within the Second Act Women community. This has just been a pleasure. Next up, we are talking about menopause. Yeah, that little, we don't know enough about her, do we? Do we? Matter of fact, let me just give you a little. Breaking news. I just learned today from our expert that there are over 80 symptoms to menopause. Are you kidding me right now? Mm-hmm. 80 symptoms, yet we are not in the dark as women. And our doctors, some of our doctors are in the dark or not telling us what we need to know about menopause, because Kimberly with the Cunningham Clinic, I just want to thank you for being here. You are board certified nurse practitioner. Your entire team is. You literally just got back from Mexico learning more, where you said you only had 3-hour break with learning about, you know, not just menopause, but medical weight loss and the weight gain and the hormones and the, oh my gosh, there's so much to this story. Kimberly, introduce yourself to our women and let's dive deep into menopause, because I'm not sure I shine away for it from it. I know you're not. You never are.
No, I'm not shy.
Tell us about who you are a little bit more, because I know you personally, but tell us a little bit more about yourself.
So hi, everybody. I'm Kimberly Cunningham. I'm a board certified nurse practitioner. I've been a healthcare provider in Colorado for over 20 years. I own Cunningham Clinic, which is a healthy aging clinic. I'm actually getting A4M certified this year, which is the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. I'm actually pro-aging. Not dead is my favorite outcome.
Thank you. So
I like to start with not dead and then we get better from there. But we are getting functional medicine certified as a practice as well. So by the end of 2024, we will be the only bilingual English and Spanish board certified bioidentical hormone replacement therapy functional medicine practice in the state of Colorado. So,
that's a mouthful.
So we can do it in two languages. I'm actually on faculty at 2 universities and I teach for BioT Medical as well. So that's all. I mean, I'm the number one new author on Amazon. I wrote a book last year, started my second book last week. So I don't really sleep, but I nerd out.
No, you don't. And you have children and you're happily married to Steve for a million years. The story of how you met is so fun.
And I'm in menopause. I went into surgical menopause 2 years ago. So on a Monday, I was ovulatory. And by 11:30, I didn't have ovaries anymore. So my menopause was instant. But I've experienced the whole gamut as well. So
you have experienced it. What I love is that, not that you've experienced it, but what I love is that you're diving deep into this. You have been, you had your own illnesses. You've overcome some things. And what I like is that you are dedicated, truly dedicated to helping us, to helping us better understand our bodies, to better understanding menopause, and to better understanding even how it is we can have a long life in taking care and understanding who we are as humans of at certain ages. You're dedicated to that.
It's really interesting. If you think about, like, penicillin came out, it was discovered in the 1920s and became commercially available in the 1940s. But penicillin, I'm plugging in my laptop because it decided to get a little low on the battery here. So penicillin really changed how healthcare worked. And so in the 20th century, it was all about the antibiotics, antivirals. Name it, medicate it, and move on so we can get more lifespan or length of years. And Dr. Peter Attia, he does a lot of podcasts on this. He's amazing. And really the pendulum has swung back since the mid 90s into this functional medicine focus of how do we live well not just longer? How do we get to live in a body that actually functions in pants that still get to fit us with a sex drive, with the muscle tone, with a brain that works? You know, we want all the things. And so really that's the focus of my practice and practices like mine. And this menopause conundrum has really, it's important that providers understand how to guide women through this really 10 to 15 year window. I have a lot of friends that are OBGYNs. They spend zero time on it. Here's how to do your pap smear, but not here's how to manage an anovulatory cycle that leads to estrogen dominance in a weight gain state. It's not actually that hard medically to understand. You just have to spend some time on it. So that's what we were going to talk about today, is what's going on in that situation. Give me 2 seconds to plug in. I'll be right back.
You plug in, because what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the 3 things that we should know about menopause. And, you know, I can't believe I'm admitting this. I actually don't understand.
Here we go. Unplugged.
Testosterone, the hormonal changes. I don't know. I think a lot of us don't understand, but don't want to admit that we don't understand, like how much testosterone we should have. We don't understand so much. And here's my thorn. In the sixth grade, most, if not all of us American young ladies had to sit through classes where they pull the young ladies to one side and the guys are on the other side of the school learning about our bodies. They're learning about what's going to happen with their body changes as they grow. We're learning about our pubescent years and our menstruation and what happens and blah, 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 blah. Then, so we have that full understanding of that in the sixth grade. Then you get to your mid to late 30s, 40s, where perimenopause can set in, but we don't know about that. Where mental health changes, we don't know that that could be causal because of menopause. We don't know. We only know about hot flashes. We are not, as human beings, set aside or given classes in a sense, like we were in the sixth grade, to learn about these body and mental health changes that are going to happen to 99.9% of us, because we will all go through menopause. Mm-hmm. And there's this mystery and this idea that we also shouldn't talk about it, because if you talk about it, it shows your age. But as what you just said, Kimberly, aging is living. So we've got to have these conversations to better understand our bodies. I will give a for instance. Several years ago, when Lupe and I, my former business partner, still bestie, and I were starting the company. About a year in, I myself didn't want to tell anybody, didn't want to tell my mom, didn't want to tell anybody that I was having a very difficult time finding my words when I was talking, when I was trying to communicate to people. And I'm a communicator. I love to talk, y'all. You know me. I was having the toughest time trying to figure out what I wanted to say. And I was on the thrust of going to the doctor to see if I was having onset dementia. Mm-hmm. And you know what I found out through some of the workshops and sessions? I didn't tell anybody. It just kept going. It started getting a little bit better. And I found out that it was menopause, mm-hmm. that nothing was wrong with me. It was a part, brain fog is a part of the, as you said, almost 80 or over 80 symptoms.
Over 80. Yeah.
Talk to us about why are we not talking about this more and why it's a part of your mission.
So I really don't understand why healthcare providers aren't experts in this.
And I'm hot flashing.
I don't,
you know,
I don't have a good reason why they don't know how to do their job. I can't really fix that. But what I can tell you, let me give you a couple of definitions. So menopause is a diagnosis retrospectively. So you menopause is a point in time, kind of like a snapshot. It is the second where you have gone 12 months without ovulating. Before that, you're perimenopausal. After that, you're postmenopausal. Menopause, by definition, is a second in time. But people use it interchangeably. You know, I'm menopausal, I'm postmenopausal. They kind of use it all in this soup that is, I'm no longer ovulating and I'm no longer getting a period. But the definition of menopause is 12 months after your last ovulation, And then 1 second later, you're postmenopausal. So what happens in perimenopause is up to 7 years before you stop getting a period or stop ovulating. If you don't have a uterus anymore, or you had a uterine ablation, you don't really know when it is because you don't, or you have a Mirena IUD, you don't know when you got a period or not. So that up to 7 years before, say, your 50th birthday, if we were to just sort of pick a point on the chronology. So around age 43-ish, give or take, is where you start having these non-ovulatory months. So your brain is saying ovulate, 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 but that ovary maybe doesn't respond. So what happens in a normal menstrual cycle, if you harken back to sixth grade, when you weren't horrified in the corner, looking at the uterus up on the screen, your brain sends a signal to the ovary, you get this nice surge of estrogen, and then you get this big extra surge of a couple of other hormones, and that gets you to ovulate. And that little egg comes out of a little sac on the ovary, and you actually ovulate every other ovary, other sides, every other month. And then that little sac that's left, that corpus luteum, that little tiny little cyst that's left, that is where women get 100% of their progesterone. And there are three sex hormones when it comes to women: estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. You get all of your progesterone out of that little tiny sac where the egg erupted. When you don't ovulate because the ovary is starting to slow down because we're making more laps around the sun, you get no progesterone that month. Estrogen is a positive feedback hormone. And so in an anovulatory perimenopausal month, which is a really fancy way of saying you didn't pop out an egg, that month you are in estrogen dominance as a woman. Estrogen dominance is where your estrogen gets itself to go through the roof. And you are in weight gaining mode no matter what. You could be on a 100 calorie a day fast. You could be on a water fast. You could be keto. I don't care what you're doing. Yeah. You are in weight gaining mode and you will suck it out of the ether. You will be weight gaining that month. There's nothing you can do about it.
So I literally, I feel like that little sixth grader who my face is like this. I mean, all of it is just, what? Yeah. This is all happening to our bodies.
Yeah. So there are ways that we can manage this estrogen dominance. We can do cyclical progesterone. It's not even that hard, but we do this in healthcare all the time. But the problem is you'll go to a general provider, like a primary care provider, and you say, oh, I'm 45 and every 2 or 3 months, I just like pack on 5 pounds and I feel bloated and awful and my boobs hurt and I don't know what's going on. I took a pregnancy test and it was negative. And what do you think? And the doctor says, I think welcome to your 40s. That is not an answer.
Yeah. Thank you. But that's what we hear. And frankly, I didn't also know that weight gain was a part of it because I gained a lot of weight. Now I thought it was because, you know, I like some Taco Bell and some Chipotle and stuff, and sweets, you name it, until now. Thank you. Because I'm on a medical weight loss program now, but I thought my weight gain, which I mean, I hit as high as 237 pounds last July. Mm-hmm. But most of my weight gain started, as I'm thinking about you saying this, most of my weight gain, I think, started coming about my mid 40s. Mm-hmm. Probably when I was peri or post, I don't know, still peri. Peri.
Well, so perimenopause is where you ovulate, but not all the time.
Okay.
So there's these months where you don't ovulate, and the month that you don't ovulate, your estrogen goes through the roof and you're just packing on the pounds. Now, there's other hormones that come into play as we age. I'm just being really straightforward and simplistic as to the weight gain part of it. But there's a condition that some women know about called polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS. Okay. We usually catch it in the mid to late teen years for women. And it's where both ovaries are trying to ovulate all the time, but they're trying to mature all these follicles. And they actually don't ovulate because they're trying to mature too many eggs at once. And these women suffer from weight gain, acne, facial hair, diabetes, inflammatory processes, and arthritis.
Oh my gosh.
By the way, except for a couple of little pieces of it, that's the exact same condition of perimenopause.
Okay. I'm literally rubbing my chin because of the facial hair. I'm admitting it. And then I get one long one that grows right here in my sideburn area that I got to pluck from time to time. But, yep. And I was responsible. I can laugh about this now. I was responsible for plucking my mom's chin hairs.
Perimenopause, perimenopause metabolically is very similar to polycystic ovarian syndrome, which we medicate PCOS to treat it and get these women to be very healthy. No problem. But I don't know why a lot of primary care providers aren't reaching for the same tools in women who are perimenopausal, because it's almost the identical condition. So we use it a lot in my practice.
Well, and Erica just brought something up too. Sadly, I do believe that a lot of why we're not being taught these things is because we're women. Because there just simply is not, and I'm not in the medical field, so, and I'm not about to you know, put it in any of the medical profession down, because listen, y'all have saved lives. You do, you know, but so I'm only going into the part where, or I only want to bring up the point that I do think it has something to do with us being women, sadly, that we're just not being as focused on as if it might have been a male problem. And it probably would have been studied starting back to the 60s.
So I think we're catching up, and I think people are getting up. So that, which is good, but I agree that most medications available today still have no pharmacokinetic studies on women. They were all done on males age 18 to 25.
Are you kidding me right now?
If you're on an antidepressant, it was not studied in women. If you were on like name the medication, it was probably the safety studies and pharmacokinetics were done on white males age 18 to 25.
Okay. Holy moly.
So we're getting there, but we have a lot of catching up to do.
We have a lot of catching up to do. Okay. So can you tell me, at the top there, we named a couple of the symptoms, some that we know, the hot flashes. You know, we didn't know that dementia, or I'm sorry, not dementia. I'm sorry. We didn't know that brain fog and some of these others, mental health, some of these things come along. Can you name some of the other things of the 80 that would that we would find of interest that would shock us?
So Oprah Winfrey did a whole article about how she was under cardiology care for 3 years for palpitations, and all she needed was hormone replacement therapy. Women are getting massively expensive, invasive cardiovascular workups for hormone deficiencies. It's just menopause. The number one decade of a woman's life to be prescribed an antidepressant is age 45 to 55. She didn't just suddenly quit making serotonin when she hit 45. She quit making estrogen and testosterone and progesterone. So if you fix the actual problem, then probably she doesn't need an SSRI, which, by the way, causes sexual dysfunction. So we really don't want to trade one set of side effects for another when we're not actually treating the problem.
And that's the problem, is of these over 80, we're not, I mean, who knows what else there is? What are some other things that
low libido, loss of muscle tone.
We're not being treated for.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So no sex drive, loss of muscle tone. So testosterone is really important for vascular and nerve health. The clitoris is an erectile.
Sorry, LinkedIn. Oops, we're on LinkedIn.
Oh, we're not on. I'm not on the name body parts. Okay.
Okay. You can.
So erectile tissue needs vascularity as well as nerve endings. So if we reseed and take away the hormones responsible for tissue wellness and health, that tissue can't function. And that's, you know, constipation is a giant symptom of menopause, because you lose gut motility, which is muscle, when you lose your testosterone.
Okay. Yeah. And the three things that we were going to talk about is the hormones, the estrogen, and testosterone. So, okay, we're tapping into those.
Yeah.
Here's a question from Erica. Yeah. Is that, can we speak about why there's so much debate over taking hormones and what is safe and what's not? You know all about this.
I do.
This is
there was this really giant disservice done talking about disservices to women. One of the biggest ones was in 2003. So there's a giant study called the Women's Health Initiative. One arm of this study put on by the National Institutes of Health was women doing hormone replacement therapy for postmenopausal symptoms. There were a lot of problems with this study. Number one, it wasn't even human identical. It was pregnant horse estrogen. Not ideal. I'm not really sure which woman decided to drink a pregnant horse's urine first, but my God, she must have been desperate, right? But that's how that happens.
Yeah, but they did.
Yeah, that's how it started long ago. A woman actually drank pregnant horse urine because she couldn't take it anymore. And then they figured out how to put it in a pill. but it's pregnant horse pee.
Oh my God.
I use human identical from yams. It's fine. But that study was using pregnant horse estrogen. And there were two arms of this study. So when you're in menopause and you still have a uterus, estrogen proliferates the uterine lining. Progesterone stabilizes it. So if you have a uterus and you're taking estrogen in any form, then you need to take progesterone as well so that you don't get postmenopausal bleeding, right? Because the good part about menopause is no tampons. So we don't want to have bleeding and shedding. And it keeps the uterine lining nice and stable. The problem in this study was they didn't use micronized progesterone, which is the human form. They used a synthetic progestin called medroxyprogesterone acetate. This synthetic progesterone was exclusively responsible for the uptick in breast cancer. It was never the estrogen, ever. It's been completely debunked.
Wow.
All of the authors of the article have retracted. I'm still waiting for the New York Times to pick this up because we have 20-year data last year showing that the estrogen only, even pregnant horse estrogen, 20 years later, those women had a 29% reduction in the risk of breast cancer.
Reduction.
Estrogen protects the breast. Estrogen protects the brain. Estrogen lowers the risk of heart disease, which, by the way, is the number one killer of women. And in the women who took that synthetic progesterone, that medroxyprogesterone acetate, and had more breast cancer, their risk of dying from that breast cancer had zero increase. So even though they got it, they didn't die from it at any higher rate than anybody else. So it wasn't even aggressive breast cancer. Wow. Probably the estrogen was protective.
Wow. So it's, okay, Bryn, I got to put this one up. I'm with Brenda. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Who knew? And again, we're not being told these things that can help us live better lives as we're aging. So
and none of those women, by the way, got testosterone. They didn't even get a big part of what you need. Do you know where on the chromosome the testosterone allele is? Do you know where it is?
No.
It's on the X chromosome.
Okay.
So to make a man is XY and to make a female is XX. Men get 100% of their testosterone from their X chromosome, from their female chromosome, not the male one.
Darn. And they don't want to study us? Come on. Back in the day, I should say.
Testosterone comes from the X chromosome and it's 10-1 over estrogen in the female body. So you need your testosterone. Your testosterone is your bone density and your muscle tone, and it protects you from Alzheimer's as well. Testosterone is important for vascular health, arterial elasticity. When testosterone falls, we see hypertension go up. When testosterone falls, we see inflammation go up, like arthritis and diabetes. So yes, okay. We want our estrogen so that we have nice skin and no hot flashes. And I may or may not be a little homicidal without my estrogen because I was pretty angry without it. I'm good now.
Right.
Oh yeah. No, my husband gave me he said something one day and I was, that was bad.
Well, Kimberly, so knowing all of this, before we tap into weight loss and the idea that Ozempic, Mounjaro compounds, all of that can help us with the weight loss.
Yeah.
What questions, because a question just came up that we don't even know to ask. And this is true. We don't need to know to ask because we don't know what's happening. We haven't been schooled. So what question should we be asking? And of what doctors are we asking these of our GYN doctors? Our nurse, most of us are now being serviced by nurse practitioners. We're not even seeing doctors anymore. I don't even know. I forgot the name of my doctor because I see a nurse. I see you and I see. So what is going on? What questions should we be asking and what doctors do we need to be seeing?
So first you want to see someone who is potentially functional medicine certified. The hormone replacement therapy that I utilize is called BioT, B-I-O-T-E. They are human identical. So we were using bioidentical for a long time, but now we're saying human identical because there's lots of stuff that's in nature that isn't good for you. Like cyanide is probably not very good for you, right? So there's things in nature that are natural, but that doesn't make them good. So we want human identical. The hormones that I utilize are synthesized from Central American yams, which is really lovely because it's sustainable.
Literally of the plant?
Yes. So Mother Nature doesn't use a compound once and then never use it again. So there's lots of repeats in the world. Pregnant horse estrogen, by the way, to get pregnant horse estrogen, there's an outcome. And that's a baby horse. And those foals don't get to grow up.
Oh.
Yeah, so I won't be a part of that.
Yeah, no.
I can get it from a lamb, and I don't have to be a part of, like, the baby foals go to slaughter and the mare gets reimpregnated. It's awful. I just think it's a bad way to practice.
Well, one of the things that I liked was that you made me take your labs. Yes.
Because I'm neurotic, and I have to have all the labs.
You were really good about that because I was like, girl, I just took labs. You know, I had the cardiologist appointment, la, 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 and I just took labs. And I have to take new labs. And you're like, yes.
Yes.
You don't even like, you didn't, yes, you do. You're taking them through my company. Yep. And, but okay. So, you know, so that
it was a whole different story.
It's a whole different story. And I learned so much about my body because of the lab results. I mean, it was like a page and a half full of things. I was like, what? My head was spinning. Yes. But what, going back to what questions do we need to ask of our nurse practitioner or a specialist? What is that question we need to ask about to learn more about our bodies or if we don't know what's going on with our bodies?
So ask them if they have an additional certification in hormone replacement therapy.
Okay.
Ask them if they have an additional certification in functional medicine. So functional medicine is looking at that root cause, what went wrong, and can I dial it back to before it went wrong instead of just medicating the problem? So it's root cause. So when we talk about weight loss, and we can come back to this root cause, why these medications are such an elegant solution. So the two questions I would ask is, are you hormone replacement therapy, human identical hormone replacement therapy certified?
Okay.
And ask, does that include testosterone? Because what you'll see is gynecologists who just want to put you on a combined birth control pill and call it a day. The problem with that is, yes, it's going to fix your hot flashes and some of the vaginal dryness and protect the endometrium because there's a little progesterone in there and it's a safe one. But the problem is there's no testosterone in there, and combined oral birth control pills increase sex hormone binding globulin in women, which is going to bind up whatever little testosterone you have left. And now you're at zero.
Wow. Okay.
So that is why birth control pills diminish sex drive. They rob you of your testosterone, bind it all up and inactivate it. So you're not a pile of sweat anymore, but you still don't want to have sex. So like, that's not better.
Yeah. Okay, but let's take a further step back.
Yeah.
I go to my doctor and I'm like, I don't know what's going on with my body. I don't know enough of it. I don't know if I'm menopausal. I don't know if I'm peri. Can you give me more information just so that I can start on the right path to getting and feeling better? Because doctor, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know how. I have brain fog. Mm-hmm. Or doctor, not only am I going through hot flashes, and I know that that's a part of menopause, but I'm experiencing this, that, and the other. I'm talking about like even from the very beginning when we go to the doctor, because I might not know it has anything to do with hormones or testosterone or estrogen and blah, blah, blah.
So first I would ask, are you hormone certified? Are you functional medicine certified? And if the answers to both of those are no, then you might need to find somebody else. To find someone like me. I mean, I'm in Denver, but your viewers are all over. Right. So in the United States, and I'm an educator for BioT Medical, and I just came back from 3 days of massive education. It's basically an education company. It's amazing. And they teach providers how to do this. So you can find a BioT certified provider who's had the same level of education that I have at, you just Google biotmedical.com and there's a find a provider. You put in your zip code and you can find somebody who's had the same certification that I have. And that's a nice place to start. But I want to encourage people, if you are sitting in front of a doctor or your provider, your healthcare provider, and you think something is wrong,
yeah,
and they're telling you there's nothing wrong, and if you think this doesn't make sense,
yes,
it's because it doesn't make sense. So what you have to do is find the person who can make sense of the thing that is actually wrong with you.
There you go. Got it.
Yeah, if you're just sitting there and they're like, welcome to middle age, welcome to menopause, suck it up, buttercup. No, find somebody.
That's what some are saying. that they're getting. Welcome. Yeah. Oh, it's a part of aging, blah, 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 blah. So you're saying, no. If they're the wrong doctor for you, they are the wrong health provider, and definitely make the switch is what you're basically saying. Because
you don't have to leave them.
Understanding, but, oh, okay. Yeah, good point.
You don't have to leave them. They might be very good at managing your sinus infection.
That's true.
And ordering your mammograms and your colonoscopy. Like they're great at that stuff. Fine.
Yes.
You know, you need 2 stitches on your pinky finger because the knife got away from you when you're chopping the vegetables. Fine. Great. But when it comes to your longevity and hormone health, you should find a specialist who knows how to navigate all of that. And premenopause, I'll treat women in their 30s and early 40s who are just deficient in testosterone.
Yeah.
And then that perimenopausal window is this really, it's kind of hormone whack-a-mole. You need somebody who knows how to dance that with you. And then postmenopause gets a little easier because everything settles down and then you can set it and forget it a little bit easier. So that you need somebody who understands those different stages and can walk that with you.
So let's dive into really quickly as we're coming to a close, but I've got to have us talk about Ozempic, medical weight loss programs. Well, that's, you know, a part of, you know, the compounds that people are using, the Manjaros, the this, that, and the other. I will say, and I'm going to be honest, this is a plug for you because I feel like after losing 17 pounds, being on my medical weight loss program, and I'm only 2.5 months into it, and I'm actually about to tear up a little bit because I feel like, it's not that I feel like a new Barbara. I do feel lighter, literally and figuratively and literally. But I can't wait later today. I'm going to your clinic to find out more about maybe the inches that I've lost, but more importantly, my A1C, because I'm pre-diabetic. I have high cholesterol, which I'm on cholesterol pills for. And I'm just happy that I am doing what I need to do to lose the weight for better health.
Yes.
I'm not trying to be skinny again, like I was, you know, a twig back in my day. I'm trying to be healthy and losing just those few pounds. I'm not, and people, you can be whatever weight you are, because I do believe you might find this to be not right, but I do find that you can be 220 or 230 pounds and you could be healthy.
Absolutely.
I highly, you know, so it's not about width. For me, it's about losing the pounds so that I can actually lessen the pressure on my heart, because heart disease runs in my family. So I want to always make sure that I am all about people. If they want to get Botox and get the Botox, whatever it is to make you feel better, you do you. But I have to say thank you to you, because you did make me take the labs. You did put me on a program. Today I'm starting my, I just lost the word, you know, today, I start the estrogen, the pellets, so that I can, so I can continue to increasing my better health for Barbara Brooks. So let's talk about why it is. Let's talk about what Ozempic is or what the compounds are, because I am getting texts from friends, many of them, and you know, many of them that are saying, and some of them are saying they're on compounds and they haven't lost a dime. And there is some of them, one friend was getting something over the internet. I'm like, girl, yeah. I would never trust the internet to my health.
No, you don't know what you're getting.
Cool us.
There are basically 2 medications right now. There's a third one coming out this summer that I'm actually a little nervous about. I think it's too strong. The original one is Ozempic. Semaglutide is the generic name for it, but Ozempic, and there was the commercial Ozempic.
My dog loves the commercial. Yes. He runs. There's a dog in it. She loves it.
So that was the first one, and it's GLP-1. It's very similar. It's basically a chemical gastric banding, so it makes your stomach full right away, and it does some other things that helps you to lose weight. It's not an elegant solution. It comes with a ton of side effects like constipation, acid reflux, projectile vomiting, and the world's worst hangover with even a half a glass of wine. What? That's why it was like, don't take that one.
And this is the one that's coming out later.
No, this is the first. So the first one, Ozempic, is the one with all the side effects.
And you just said projectile vomiting?
Yeah.
Well, okay then.
So we don't like that. We don't like that. So the original, but it was the only one. And so the original Ozempic, as the only one, you would have to do microdosing and take them there really slowly. And they all had to be on Zofran and antiemetics. But it worked. And then we got Mounjaro or tirzepatide, which is GLP and GIP. So it has two pathways that it's working on in the body. And it's such a more elegant solution. So you still get the correction of the blood sugar. You still get the mobilization of fat through the liver. You still get the rebalancing of the ghrelin, leptin, hungry, full feedback loop, which, by the way, estrogen dominance completely obliterates. And it doesn't matter how much you eat, you're always starving. So nobody wants to spend all day starving and starving and starving. So these medications reset that almost on day one, which is just lovely. So with the tirzepatide or the Mounjaro, which is the one that you're taking, you
keep talking. I'm going to grab it. Keep talking. Start that one more time and I'm going to get it. So they see what I'm doing.
So Barbara's taking Mounjaro, which I can share because she has shared. Otherwise it would be a HIPAA problem. But, and it's a newer, more elegant solution. So by affecting two different pathways in the body, we can, there it is. We can stop hunger. You will still be hungry. You're just not ravenous 24/7. And you're satisfied. You're satisfied with vegetables now, because without it, the only thing that satisfies you is fat and sugar. So you're actually satisfied with a normal diet, a healthy diet. Yep, there it is. It is a shot once a week. Also with the Mounjaro, because it works so much better, people lose weight quicker. And so the original Ozempic or semaglutide was a 9 to 18 month journey, whereas the Mounjaro or tirzepatide is more like 6 to 9 month journey to achieve your goal. So we talked about that estrogen dominance. We talked about that weight gaining state. We talked about that insulin, blood sugar problem. And here's where it gets really exciting. And this is what we spent all weekend talking about at the conference. Sugar inflammation either was poorly understood before COVID or COVID actually changed the landscape, because we are seeing more type 2 diabetes now with normal fasting blood sugar than we have ever seen. It was not a thing before COVID. Now in my testing, we get an annual A1C. We don't rely on the fasting blood sugar because people have diabetes with a normal fasting blood sugar. They put that puck on their arm and they check their sugars all day long and it's normal, 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 normal. A1C shows diabetes. Sugar is one of the most inflammatory things in the human body. Not everybody is sugar sensitive, but if you have this perimenopausal estrogen dominance and if you have a familial predisposition to be sugar inflamed, you'll be fine, 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 hit your mid-40s and you're like, boom, what just happened? Wow. And you see it in families. Mom, friends, aunts, sisters, they all are fine, 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 fine. And then boom. And it's like, it goes off a cliff because now they have diabetes and now they have bad cholesterol and now they have and aches and pains and all of this. And what we're finding is that especially the Mounjaro or the tirzepatide, the newer one, it's such an elegant solution because as I correct the sugar problems, the lipids get better. As I correct the sugar problems, the arthritis gets better. And the weight gets better and the visceral fat goes down. And there were actually two experts over the weekend talking about how affecting these blood sugars is probably going to show prevention for Alzheimer's, which is now called type 3 diabetes.
Type 3?
Type 3 diabetes is the new name for Alzheimer's. So if I can correct sugar inflammation around this perimenopause time when it goes south, what is that going to mean in 20, 25 years? I am so excited to find out.
Oh, wow.
By the way, with the tirzepatide or the Mounjaro,
no
constipation. We don't see it. We don't see very much nausea, no vomiting. And if we just go slow on the dose, we don't see any nausea. And most women can have up to 2 glasses of wine a couple of times a week without paying dearly for it. So you can still be social. This is a long journey. Right. I mean, you're doing this for months and months and months. You want to be able to have a glass of wine with a nice dinner if that's something that you normally do to have a social interaction. So that medication still allows for you to actually live your life.
So can I tell you, so my experience, because I am often sent texts and emails, especially every time I post, you know, my weight loss and my journey and all that. What has been amazing to me is, so I'm a sugar freak. I'm like Jen, who just said a moment ago that she loves food. I come from a foodie family and I love food, but all the food noise is completely gone. I don't have any desire to eat all the junk that I used to eat. And I used to think that I was eating junk in, you know, not a lot of it, but when I really look back, I'm like, oh, I was snacking a lot throughout the day. And then when I'm done with a meal, I'm thinking about the next meal and what I'm going to eat, or if I'm going to order Domino's or, you know, or drive over Chipotle. And by the way, I used to be able to eat an entire Chipotle burrito. And now with this, it takes me 3 settings to eat a whole burrito. And I literally, the first day that I took the shot, and I thought this was in my brain, I took the shot that morning. Y'all told me, showed me how to take the shot. I took it, and within an hour, I'm like, huh, I really feel full. I mean, I don't feel full, but I don't feel hungry at all. And I wasn't even thinking about what I was going to eat. I had to Google to make sure that it wasn't in my brain, that this really works that fast. And I guess it does for some. And I happen to be one that immediately, and ever since then, I don't have the desire to eat Cheetos and Lay's. Occasionally, you know, I have some, because, you know, but it truly is a miracle drug. Because if you're like me, who, again, and my mom was this way, we can eat all day, every day. And I think that was also part of my weight gain, was not just the menopause, but because of that, because in the past I could eat anything and I stayed a stick. But it has been truly a miracle, and I can't wait to see what else is going to happen with my body chemistry now getting on the pellets, so we can balance out some of those other things.
And it's what's really interesting, because I do a lot of hormone replacement therapy. I probably do 6 or 8 pellet placements a day. And I have 3 other people at my practice doing it as well. We do about 150 a month right now, pellet placements for men and women. About 65% women, 35%. Too. Oh yeah. Oh, men need testosterone. They get very unhealthy and unhappy without it. So, it's about 35% men and 65% women. Usually we'll treat the, in a heterosexual couple, if we treat the woman first, he's in our clinic within 3 to 4 months saying, what did you do? And can I have some?
So is this because the sex drive?
Everything's better. She's got more energy. She wants to go places. She wants to do things. And now he can't keep up with her, whether it's in the community or the bedroom. He wants to have some of that. So yeah, that's pretty exciting. But what we're finding is our patients who've always just had this chronic inflammatory state and this perimenopausal weight gain, these women that I put on the tirzepatide or the Mounjaro that you're on, their pellets last longer and they don't need as much hormones for support, because that inflammation from the sugar is chewing up so much of their resources. So when I correct the sugar inflammation and I add the Mounjaro or tirzepatide to their hormone replacement therapy plan, I can lower their thyroid medication. I can lower their testosterone and estradiol dose. I can extend the time between pellets because they're not burning through all their resources fighting this inflammation. Wow. And that tells me on my functional medicine side of things, they are not aging as quickly or as badly. So I've slowed all of that down, which is really wonderful, because I would love to see 100 and I would love for my patients to see 100.
Yeah.
Everything is working. I want it to all still work. So it's really, you know, it's not a panacea. It's not a one size fits all.
Right.
But in patients who are at risk for sugar inflammation, it has been an absolute game changer, and it changes everything else. So it's a big one. Squirt bottle.
So when I'm talking about
this intervention with the tirzepatide or the Mounjaro, this intervention is so far up the food chain, it affects everything downstream, and it winds up, this is going to be a cornerstone piece going forward.
Oh, it's going to be, I highly recommend, as we come to a close, I want to say thank you, because thank you for so much, but also for, recommending. This has been good for me.
We should talk about how long, just really quick.
Say that again?
We should talk about how long people can expect, just really quickly.
Oh, well, yes, because I might be an anomaly there. And, you know, I've lost it pretty quickly. Yeah. And I've plateaued. I've now, you know, there's times, as you know, I've sort of hit a plane where I didn't lose a pound in a week or what have you. And again, I'm at 17 in 2.5 months. But not everybody's going to have that kind of result. So I love that you manage my expectations from the yes. very beginning.
So the very beginning. And we still offer semi-glutide, which is the Ozempic. It is less expensive. And some people, that's all they can do. And that's okay. We have to manage the constipation and the other things. So
I didn't have any of that, by the way.
I put you on the better one.
I didn't have anything. I didn't have anything.
You got the better one. Yeah. So the original one is like 9 to 18 months to get to a healthy body mass index. With the new one, with the Mounjaro or the tirzepatide, it's like 6 months, give or take 2 or 3, depending on where they start from. But what we're finding is 75% of our patients will go on a low, affordable maintenance dose, because if I just take away the medication, they go right back into sugar inflammation, and that's going to make you age badly and your lipids go up and bad things start to happen. So what we do is when you get there, we'll take you down to this. It's a tiny little dose. It's still a once a week shot, but it's this little tiny dose, a little basal dose. And that keeps all of that inflammatory, hungry, full dysbiosis, all of that never comes back if you just do this tiny little dose. And what we learned over the weekend at this giant conference we just went to is some of the longevity data is showing that is how you also prevent Alzheimer's. So we'll see when the data comes out, but it's very exciting. Most of our people will stay on a small maintenance dose because they prevent all of that inflammation. And also because they feel so good. They're like, you can't have it back. I need to have that. Because when there's no inflammation in your body, you feel really good. You sleep great. Your joints don't hurt.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, look, excellent episode today. Ah, are you the Kimberly? Yes, that's the Kimberly wrote the book on sex. Yes. What was the name of the book? Where can they? Let's say where they can find you. Give the book the name of the book because it's really great. And what they could do, because they get $25 off, by the way, if they see you.
Barbara has a nice referral. If you say Barbara sent you, there's a couple of deals you get that we worked out. Thank you for talking about us publicly. The book is called Great Sex Never Gets Old, Health, Hormones, and Having It All After 40. It is on Amazon, but I encourage you not to get it from Amazon, because Bioteam Medical, the company that I buy the pellets from, was so excited about the book that they underwrote the cost of printing it. And so if you come by my clinic, you can get a copy for free.
I'm speechless because, again, this has been, I'm kind of speechless because this has been great. And I plan on staying, by the way, on the maintenance, because once I hit, and my goal weight is just 190. So listen, I don't need to be, again, I said, I don't need to be thin. I don't need to be olive oil. I just want to get to a point where I am just, where the less stress on the heart area and all of that. But I just want to say thank you. And yes, I'm a second act member. I read it. Very intriguing. I love that.
Thanks
so much. You're located in Colorado in Denver off of Colorado and I-25. And y'all, if you know that big old gold building on Colorado, she's literally across the street from there. So I will be seeing, probably not you, but your ladies later. Oh, I know what I wanted to add. If you do go on any of these, what I like about what your women, told one of my friends who went last week to get, for her consult, they scold her on, you've got to get in the gym. You've got to weight train, because what happens is you lose the muscle mass, correct? So there are things that can happen you're gaining it back the minute you're off of it.
So if we don't correct the low testosterone, so we do a lot of hormone replacement therapy with the medical weight loss. So the medical weight loss will make you smaller, but if you don't have testosterone, you are already in a muscle loss state. So if you are losing weight and you have no testosterone because you're postmenopausal, you are not going to end your weight loss journey healthier. You're just going to end it smaller. That's not what we want.
And gain it back, probably, right? That's what they do.
Even if you were on a plan, you're just turning into a noodle. And I don't want you to fall. And I don't want you to have a fracture. And I like, stop. So we want you healthier in all of the different areas. And so if we do the testosterone replacement therapy and you lift weights once a week, you're going to end this with active metabolism, resting metabolic rate, as well as all the sugar inflammatory markers have been corrected. So yes, we do a lot more, and there's a lot we couldn't cover today. It's a giant program. We've got handouts. We have a list of counselors we've been developing because so many people have emotional issues around disordered eating, and we want to make sure that we support people there as well. We have a huge, it's a whole program. It's not just labs and medication, but yeah.
Yeah. And you have to make sure, as you know, you're eating right. You gotta still live a healthy lifestyle. So you can't just use this and think, I'm going to lose all this pounds and then that's it. And then, you know, I'm done. No, I literally, even though my cravings and all of that is gone, and sometimes I don't feel hungry, I know when it's time to eat and that I'm still putting in my body the right proteins and fibers and all of that. The 50-50 for me, I'm doing 50% fibers and protein and, you know, fruits and vegetables on the other side of things. So yeah. Can you answer this last question and then we'll call it a day? Yeah. For those of you listening, the next question is it an ongoing maintenance thing?
That depends on the patient. So it depends. So if you start your medical weight loss journey in prediabetes with cardiovascular risks and poor lipid control and a lot of metabolic diagnoses, probably you're going to have to stay on maintenance because those metabolic diagnoses need to be medically treated. It's not the weight gain was a symptom of the problem. The medication will fix that. If you had a really good time in COVID with your mixology at home and you didn't work out and this got a little sticky, and otherwise metabolically you're doing fine, you're just holding on to an extra 50 pounds, you're going to be the 25% that you should be able to stop the medication and it's fine. You just need a little help to get it back. So it really just depends on your baseline health and where we can get you. We do have some folks that when we've done the hormone replacement therapy and the thyroid support and some of the functional medicine pieces support that they're on maintenance and they're probably going to be able to come off of maintenance because we've supported some of the systems that failed, but we'll just have to see. And then we're always going to keep checking and making sure that the problems aren't creeping back because they don't want you to just run off for 5 years and be, you know, things getting damaged because we only have the one house to live in. We have to take really good care of this house so we have a place to live because we don't have any other place to live. So I always want to, I'm kind of neurotic about checking and getting labs and making sure that we are on a pathway of having lots and lots of fun and bodies that work.
Ooh, that is a mic drop right there. Mic drop. You know, I want to say thank you for coming today. Yeah. This has been very informational. I feel like I still always learn something new from you. And obviously I'll be seeing you or one of your team members later today. And so thank you for joining us. You can catch Kimberly again, the CunninghamClinic.com. But if you are attending BizLifeCon April 26th and 27th in Denver, Colorado, that's 2024. You know, she's leading two different things. She's going to be talking about this more in depth, but also she's going to be doing a round table that you can really dive deeper into some of the questions that you may have. And so we have someone here who said they're interested in learning, and I will make the introduction to you and Erica. I love Erica. She's good people. And so thank you for watching and listening to Second Act with Barbara Brooks today. And you can find me all across social media. If you're, if you're in Denver, I highly recommend visiting Kimberly and her clinic. And I hope you have an amazing day and we will talk to you soon. Kimberly, stay on the line.
Okay.
Bye everyone. Have a great day.